Well, as we start this morning, I want to talk a little bit about my life growing up. Now, when I was growing up, my dad was a very strong man physically, emotionally, and in his personality. Dad was just a real strong man. He was a man of very few words. If my dad said something, everybody stood up and listened because they knew it was going to be something important. Because he didn't talk much at all. And you're wondering, well, are you from the same gene pool? Well, I got my mother's side on that one, okay? But other than being strong, my dad was also a very compassionate man and a very loving man. And it amazed me, even back when I was a kid, as strong as Dad was, all of the kids just flocked around him. We would go to church or everybody would come to the house and the kids would just swarm Dad. They wanted to be around him. He was that type of guy. And I got to thinking back about when my dad was trying to teach me how to swim. That poor man had his patience tested. We would go to the pool down at Van Buren frequently. I say frequently, once a week or so. Dad would get into the water. He would finally get me encouraged to get into the water. And we're talking about 3 feet of water. We're not talking about the deep stuff, okay? After an extended period of time, I would get in. And after even a longer time, Dad would finally get my fingers pried away from the edge of the pool. I mean, it took him a long time to get me out into the water. But once we got out there, he would tell me, now, all we're going to do today is I'm going to teach you how to float. I'm going to either lay you on your back or I'm going to lay you on your stomach. And that sounded really good to me. And the second he started to lay me down, whether it was the stomach or the back, I went for his neck. I was not going to turn loose of that man. He worked and worked and worked. Like I said, we made numerous trips down to the pool with him trying to teach me to swim. Well, he finally gave up. He signed me up for swimming lessons at that same pool. On about the second or third day, a man by the name of Mr. Martin, who was a complete, total stranger to me at that time, came up and said, "Yeah, I see you're really trying to learn how to swim. Can I help you?" I said, "Well, yes, if you would. I really do want to learn." He said, "Well, come with me." So I followed him. We walked over next to the diving boards, and you can imagine what happened next. He threw me in. Needless to say, I learned how to swim right then and right there. Now, to this day, I am still convinced that my dad talked to Mr. Martin, and that was his way of revenge. I can't prove that, but I really think Dad did. But when you stop and analyze that story, here's what you find. For whatever reason, I did not trust my dad's love for me. Dad never gave me any reason to doubt his love. He wouldn't have harmed me no matter what. He would have protected me with every fiber of his being. If for some reason I didn't believe his love for me. Now, I knew he loved me, but I didn't believe his love. And I didn't trust his love. Folks, if I had, I would have turned loose of the pool. And I would have relaxed when he was out there working with me. And my story is not that unusual. Most of us do not trust our parents' love growing up. I can prove that to you. That's why teenagers go talk to everybody else in the world about their problems except their parents. They don't trust the love of their parents. They might know that their parents love them, but they don't trust their love. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very closely because this has deep spiritual implications as we get into this. We, as Christians, do the very same thing in our relationship with God. We say that we know that God loves us, and I really think that we do know He loves us, but I don't think we trust His love. I don't think that we really believe His love for us. We cling to the side of the spiritual pool with all of our might, which says we don't trust His love. Now, let me give you two examples. The first example is in the financial realm. God says, if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's been really heavy on my heart this week. That is a promise beyond my comprehension. God said, if you will tithe, if you'll give me 10%, I will rebuke the devourer. I will stand up and fight for you, that the devourer cannot attack you. He also says, over in Philippians, that if you tithe, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he's saying, you don't have to rely on your own ability. Here's my ability. And back in Malachi, he even says that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain it. And even with all of those promises, we say, well, I can't afford to tithe. What you're saying is, I don't trust God's love for me. I don't think he loves me enough to do what he said he would do. Just like I didn't trust Dad, we don't trust God. We don't really believe the love that he has for us. The second example is, you might be praying about something, and God will lead you to some verses in the Bible that shows you exactly the answer to your problem. And you've got it in black and white. You know exactly what you need to do. But you don't do it. And what we're doing when we do that is we're saying, I don't believe that you love me enough to do what you said you would do. I don't believe the love that you have for me. I don't trust your love. Instead, we will lean to our own understanding. And the Bible tells us that that is the recipe for disaster right there. God's recipe is to cast all of our care over on him, because he cares for us. And we don't do that. We treat God just like I treated Dad. We hang on to the edge of the pool. We don't cast our trust and our care over on God like he tells us to. For some reason, we think we're big enough to handle it, but God isn't. How ludicrous is that? We think that God loves us, but we don't really know. We're not really convinced. We don't really believe God's love for us. And folks, when we don't believe God's love for us, that's called doubt. That's called disobedience. That's called sin. And that's called not living in the victory that God wants us to live in. And you see how important this is. Just like I hindered my ability to learn how to swim by not trusting Dad. I mean, if I had trusted Dad, he would have probably been able to teach me in one day how to swim. But for whatever reason, I didn't trust him. And folks, it literally took me a couple of years to learn how to swim until Mr. Martin showed up and threw me in. And like I said, I still think Dad was behind that. But if I'd only trusted Dad, I could have probably learned 2 years earlier. And I can't help but think, what else did I get hindered in because I didn't trust Dad's love for me? So this is very, very, very important. Now, our text for today is 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 16, then we're going to back up and catch 14 and 15 here in a few minutes. But John says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have known. And that word known is deeper than what we think. That word known is like a relationship between a husband and a wife. It is a very deep, personal, intimate knowing. The way that a husband and wife knows each other is different than they know anybody else. So we really know, and we don't just know, but we believe the love that God has for us. In other words, we commit our trust completely upon the fact that God loves us. If we don't believe God's love for us, then we won't trust him to do what he said he would do in his word. The evidence that we believe God is very simple. We will turn loose to the edge of the pool. We will put our faith and our trust and our hope completely and totally on Him. We will not try to solve things ourselves. We will cast the care of it completely over on Him. Going back to the illustration of me swimming, I should have had enough trust in my dad's love that even if he took me out into the 12-foot water, I should have believed his love for me. I should have trusted his love for me. And folks, the place we get in trouble so many times is when we feel like God's taking us out deeper than we want to go, we fight him. Just like I fought dad, just the same way I clung to dad, instead of just relaxing and let him being the head. I was trying to take the lead, and by doing so, I was greatly hindering my ability to learn. I was hindering dad's ability to teach me something very important, and we hinder God from teaching us things that are very important by not trusting him. You know, God has really proved his love for us. Going back to verse 14, it says that we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God has proved to us he loves us, not just by saying he loves us, but by sending his Son to be our Savior. Folks, it doesn't get any more solid proof and evidence than that. And in verse 15, you read on down and it says, not only that, but God came to dwell in us and us in God. That is proof, that is evidence that God loves us as if we needed evidence. God has never done anything to give us the slightest hint that he would ever harm us in any way. The same way I said that my dad would protect me with every fiber of his being, God will protect us with every fiber of his being if we will trust him. We get in trouble when we fight God. When we don't cast our care over on him, when we lean to our own understanding, and then we blame God because it didn't work out the way we wanted it to. If I tried to blame my dad for me not being able to swim, that would have been crazy. Because dad was doing everything he could to teach me. It was me. I was the reason that I wasn't learning how to swim. I had a great teacher. My dad was a natural born swimmer. I had probably one of the best teachers ever around in the state of Arkansas, and yet I was hindering my ability to learn. And God has proved his love for us, and all that we have to do is to believe his love for us. Folks, if we don't believe the love of God, then we can never have faith in God. I want to say that again. If we don't believe the love of God, then we can never have faith in God. Because when we place our faith in God, what we're really saying is that I believe you love me enough to do exactly what you said in your word. So I'm going to cast all of my care over on you. I am going to obey your commandment completely. I am going to trust you completely. I am going to rely upon you completely. I am going to turn loose of the edge of the pool. We have so many Christians that are hanging on to the edge of the pool, and they really think that they're serving God. They really think they're doing what God told them to do. They really think they're trusting God when they're fooling themselves. They feel safe hanging on to the edge of the pool, but God never told us to feel safe. He told us to have faith. If you could do it on your own, it wouldn't take faith. If you could do it on your own, it wouldn't take God. Faith is going beyond what we can do in placing our complete, total trust in God to do what he said he would do. Now, we're going to look at this a little more tonight, but I briefly want us to look at the love of God, how magnificent God's love is for us, how marvelous his love is for us. First of all, the love of God is greater than even the best speaker could ever describe. Most people can't even comprehend God's love. How are you ever going to describe something that is that magnificent and that marvelous? God doesn't just love. The Bible says that God is love. Every time you see the word love in the Bible, you can put God's name right there. Every time you see God's name in the Bible, you can put the word love right there. They are synonymous. They are one and the same because God doesn't just love. He is love at the very core of His being. Amen. The Bible tells us that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for another man. And Jesus did that willingly. For you and for me, not when we were His children, but when we were His enemies. That would be like you going and laying your life down for someone that is either your personal enemy or our nation's enemy. That would be just like you giving your life for them and willingly doing it that they could be saved. Folks, that's why it's so hard for us to comprehend, because we can't think like that in the natural. The love of God is completely unconditional. Now stop and think about this. God knows you better than anybody else. The Bible says that He even knows the number of hairs you have on your head, and He still loves you in spite of knowing you that well. He still loves me in spite of knowing me that well. God's love is completely unconditional. That's why He can love our worst enemy just like He loves us, because He is love. He doesn't have degrees of love. He is love. And that's why we can trust His love, because it never changes. God's love for us is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago, and it's the same today as it will be 2,000 years from now. God simply loves us because He is love. There's a song in our songbook called The Love of God. And the third verse of that song says this: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Folks, there is nothing greater than God's love. And that, I don't know who wrote that song, but didn't they have a great vision and revelation of God's love? Even if the entire ocean was ink, and you wrote in very small letters across the sky, the ocean would run dry before you got it described, and the sky would fill up before you got God's love described. It is deep. And the amazing thing is that all of that love is focused on you and focused on me. Boy, that's humbling, isn't it? God's love is focused on us. And we don't deserve it. We were enemies of God. We were enemies of the kingdom of God when God showed His love to us by giving His Son in our stead. Now, I told you earlier, it is vitally important that we know and that we believe God's love for us. And since it is so important, I'm going to tell you how you can get to that point. And guess what? Everybody here, with the exception of those in the room that are under 20, probably already know how. You're saying, well, what's age got to do with it? Well, it's the same way as it in the spiritual as it is in the natural. As I grew and matured and became more mature in my emotions and in my thinking and in my reasoning, you could say as I became more like my dad, I really came to the realization and believed He does love me. And I trusted his love. There came a point in our relationship that our relationship it dramatically got so much better because I trusted his love. I was no longer a disobedient, rebellious child. But I trusted what my dad told me because I knew that he loved me more than anybody else on this earth, maybe with the exception of my mother. They were right there side by side. But for me to get to that point, I had to become like Dad. I had to mature to the point where he was so I could think like he thought and that I really understood and knew and trusted his love for me. And for those of you that are not 20 yet, that usually happens around age 22. So parents, if you've got one that's still under the age of 20, keep praying. They'll get there. Hopefully. Most of them do. But it's the same way in the spiritual realm. As we mature, as we become more God-like, more godly, and we start having the mind of Christ, and we start thinking the way that God thinks, and we see things the way that He sees them, it's amazing. We start to really know and to really trust His love for us. We get to the point we go, why was I so stupid? Why did I not just put my faith in Jesus Christ the way that God told me to? And we're not just talking about being saved. That's the first step. But folks, most Christians don't ever really get to the point that they fully trust the love of God, and they don't really totally ever put their faith in God. And the reason is that we haven't matured to the point that we have the mind of Christ and we think like God thinks and we can understand with our spiritual man what God really meant when He said to cast all of our care upon Him and to not lean to our own understanding, which is so shallow. So shallow. But to trust and rely upon Him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is over in Psalms chapter 91. It's in verse 1 or verse 2. It says that you are my God in whom I completely and totally trust and who I rely on. Completely and totally trust and who I rely on. So folks, to put it as simply as I know how, we need to grow up. We need to mature in our spiritual walk. The same way that we had to grow up and start taking responsibility in our natural lives and start being more like our parents, acting more like an adult, or we need to start acting more like our parent, God. And we need to grow spiritually. And the best way to do that is through time with Him and Bible study and prayer. Bible study and prayer. Growing in the Lord. If you're still on the milk, that's okay, but don't stay there long. There's so much more. We need to be striving to the point that we can get on the meat of the Word and really get the heart and the mind of Christ, and we can start understanding the spiritual things that are deep and trusting God with every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our life, no matter what it is, we need to trust Him. But when we doubt God, we are really doubting His love for us. When we disobey God, we are really doubting His love for us. Not only is it hindering us in our spiritual walk, and not only is it hindering us in our relationship to God, but folks, it's sin. Disobedience to God is sin, no matter how you look at it. So it's very important that we get to the point that we can truly trust the love that God has for us. I'm going to ask Marlene if she would come with a song of invitation. Folks, the invitation this morning is simply this. I want you to ask yourself, am I to the point that I truly trust God. Now, one way you can find out if you are or not, look at your finances. If you're not tithing, you're not trusting God. I mean, that's a real easy one. If you're not getting out the checkbook every week, you're not trusting God. In other areas of your life, if God's Word says to do something and you're not doing it, you are not trusting the love that God has for you. If you're at that point, I encourage you today to make a determination to grow till you get to that point. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you that you love us. And Father, that your word makes it very clear and very plain how much you love us. You loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment and our penalty, that we could be free, and that we could have life eternal, and that we could go from being a slave to sin to being a son of God and being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God, I just pray that you'd help us to analyze ourselves today to see if we truly trust your love that you have for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.